Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Happy Friday to everybody. That's the way we like to start it. Whether you're just getting up, you haven't had that first cup of coffee, or you're on your way in, you're thinking about your day, man, just listen to this goofy-ass song for just a second. It's Friday.
I also have good news for you today on this Friday.
What is it?
It's National Donut Day.
You know what? I found out earlier.
I'm just
this
saying
morning.
That we don't, you know, we do the Dunkin' Donut run, you know, for coffee, and the guys in the back at, you know, lunch and dinner, and they, you know,
she gave me a donut, and she didn't even say it was, but she gave me a donut, and I brought it back. I said, anybody want the donut? I got a chocolate glazed donut here.
National Donut
Day. No wonder.
Today.
I guess everybody get it. I thought I was special or something today.
No. You're special. I mean, you spend enough money on the Dunkin' Donuts, they should give you free donuts every once in a while. But yeah, today's National Donut Day. So today is a, and every day is a national something day, National Spaghetti
You're
Day.
You're right,
national
man.
This
there
day.
Is always like is the day open? We'd like to get our product God, it's everything every day.
But today is a special one. If it's really National Donut Day and everyone around the country is celebrating National Donut Day, this should be a holiday. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to get to, including tonight, Game 4, Golden State and Toronto. Looks like Klay Thompson will play. And I'm guessing, boy, if he doesn't, they're in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's out, and for everybody said, Kevin Durant might not play in this series. Well, tonight we're more than halfway through this bad boy, and he's not playing. So I don't know. It looks to me Golden State's in
is he doing work?
A little bit
with
of trouble.
The team,
no.
Is it nothing, right? He's like, you can't expect a guy to come out and play, not even practicing. It's been, how long has it been? We're talking game five of that series, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to practice. And the doctor or the trainer said no, which tells me off. The trainer's saying no, that doesn't sound like he's about ready to run up and down the court for 30, 35 minutes. So go with the old big three and see if you can get more support from some other players. And we'll see what happens tonight. All kinds
Can't
of crazy
picture
stuff.
It, Can't huh? you picture it now? They get to a game seven. Kevin Durant walks out, has 35, 38 points that night. They win the championship. He's the hero of the series. Comes back for one game.
Boy, I'll
tell you. Can't you see that? Can't you see Willis Reed, a.k.a. Kevin Durant, happening at this point?
I don't know. You know, there's so much money at stake.
You're right. That's true
And you're thinking, hey, I want to win, but I do have a couple of rings, so it's not like I don't have any. And if this is going to hurt me long term, I shouldn't say that. Maybe, you know what, maybe Kevin Durant does try to say, hey, what the hell, I got all off season. I'm gonna go for it. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, the other story that we didn't talk about yesterday, Mark Stevens, Golden State investor or minority owner, shoving Kyle Lowry during the game, and it just blew up yesterday. And so it looks real bad. It does. I'm not saying he threw a punch. I guess he said verbally said some things too that that were wrong, and I don't know what they were, but he ends up getting banned for 1 year from the NBA and fined $500,000. So the guy's sitting down there and got a couple of nice floor seats.
Of course.
He's worth $2.3 billion.
So he's got $500 million in his pocket probably to pay that fine off.
$500,000. A big difference. Yeah. $500 million would hurt
him. You're right.
$500,000 ain't going to hurt.
$500,000 ain't anything. Change in the couch.
Yeah, ain't going to hurt a guy that's worth a couple billion. So anyway, I just thought, and some people, everybody's got an opinion, that's not enough. This guy needs to pay. And like Adam Silver came out and said, listen, this is pretty good fine. Like, this is pretty good. He's out for a year, which basically this year or next year, if they go to the playoffs, he's not going to be allowed. And $500,000, that's chump change to anybody that's worth a billion.
He's got to be there, yeah.
But it's a bad look. How embarrassing to go back and have your buddies look at you and go, dude, I know you're a fan, but what would make you, he didn't even come close to you, reach over and shove the guy. Like, what kind of clown are you? Now, I don't know if he thought he was going to have that kind of response, but Kyle Lowry was like, no, hell no. You push me. And so people are trying to get him back in the basketball game and everything else. But it's a terrible look. And I know people want him to sell his share of the team and get rid of it. And who knows? He might be the wealthiest of the whole group of investors in that team. I don't know. But the guy just comes. To me, the embarrassment of going back, you can't put a price tag on
that.
Like when people see you, just how people look at you when you do something stupid like that. By the way, on a national basketball game.
Yeah.
Like on a nationally televised basketball game. You know, you can do great things your whole life. And you get a big stage and you say something really stupid, whether it's got a racial touch to it, or you do something that, you know, knock down a kid or whatever. I'm just
anything
throwing out
stupid,
stuff.
Stupid, yes.
And people go, wow, I wonder how long this guy's been an idiot. But you're an idiot for life. Like, he could never get rid of that, no matter what this guy comes out and says or apologizes or what. Butch, by the way, I don't think we've heard an apology from him. Like, yeah, I got a little wrapped up in the game as a huge fan. But
well, Silver said yesterday when he spoke that he was really apologetic, obviously.
Well, of course. He's not going to say I meant to do it.
I mean, the punishment seems fair, right?
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ban the guy for life. That would be
But if a fan did that, he'd be banned for life.
But here's the thing. They banned him for the finals, and then did you notice, like, the players started getting involved, especially LeBron?
Well.
And when LeBron speaks and gets involved, like, he usually gets a lot worse?
No, LeBron's a powerful guy. Listen, LeBron is the most powerful guy anywhere in the world in sports.
Yeah.
He's right next to the commissioner.
Right.
He's more powerful than any owner in the NBA because, you know, he said, hey, I haven't said anything throughout these playoffs, but I ain't letting that go. And he said something. But listen, they had to do something anyway. It's a bad look if we're going how we treat fans and how everybody gets treated for if they say something or you touch somebody that way.
If a fan did that, they'd be banned for life, though, don't you think? From NBA arenas?
I don't know, but I do know we saw a fan in Utah that was had a little bit of a KKK background there. He's done.
He's
Utah.
He's banned. He'll never go to a game again.
Super white is like, hey, you're out, man. We don't need this. We don't need this reputation that we already have, and you're out. So I think it's fair, yes.
But the big saving grace here is that Kyle Lowry didn't turn around and break this guy's jaw.
You're right.
Which he should have and could have. But he was speaking about it after the game, and he's saying, you know, I have kids, and I set an example and all that. And, you know, great for him being professional there. But he could have turned around and punched that guy in the face, and then you have a real situation.
What if that was Russell Westbrook and he got pushed like that? I think Russell would have pushed back.
I mean, he could have thrown that guy in the fifth row, and then you have a serious problem.
The only reason I disagree with you, it's such a huge game. And like, everybody's zoned in. I mean, this you don't get back to these things a lot. Now, you get hit.
Unless you're the worst.
Somebody hits you.
And maybe it's not even Kyle Lowry. Maybe it's one of his teammates. Like, you have a Malice at the Palace situation where your teammate, you know, steps onto the floor and lays someone out
guy,
like a Jermaine O'Neal type thing.
If it's really bad, but again, fellas,
it wasn't that crazy of a shove.
You can't put your hands on a player. I mean, everyone knows that.
But this is the NBA Finals, so like, all right, I'll deal with you later, idiot.
Remember the Malice of the Palace? He was sitting there, like Artest was sitting there, and the dude threw the beer from the stands, and all his teammates were standing right there. That's why it got nasty.
You throw a beer. I mean,
it was Ron Artest. We have to also put the characters.
We have different stages of stuff, though. I mean, you're talking about a shove versus a guy throwing a beer.
Yes.
Throwing a beer on somebody is low. Spitting on somebody is the lowest. Yeah. And if you were that drunk and you threw a punch or something, obviously that would be it.
There was a woman in the second row that got dump trucked. I don't know if you saw that part of the video. There was a woman wearing yellow in the second row that got absolutely dump trucked. Like, that was the only person that might have had a right to push back.
A little beef.
She got crushed.
Yeah.
The other guy wasn't even involved in the play, though.
No, he was like 4 feet away from it.
But you know when you sit in the front two rows.
There's a chance.
And you pay all that money. And coaches are going, hey, this is it. We got to play hard. And you can't go any harder than Kyle Lowry did in that play. I mean, he was going all out to get to the basketball. So that's what you're taught. And you know, if you sit in those seats and you got a beer in your hand and they're coming at you, all you can say is, oh, shh. There's nothing
Hold
you
on
can
to your
do.
Beer. Yeah.
You got a great athlete running somewhere between 200 and 250 pounds running at you from 6 feet to 6'10". He's coming to get the ball, and the last thing he's doing is thinking about how much money you have or whether you're a male or a female. They're trying to get the ball. So anyway, that's part of the good and the bad of being close, man. You get to see and hear everything when you're up close. You don't have anybody in front of you. You pay a lot of money. And the thing you know when you sit there, there's also a chance on any given night, if I have a floor seat or a second seat right behind them, that
chance you could get run over.
You could wear somebody's beer.
Yeah.
That's just a part of the deal. Anyway, so that's all taken. I just go back. The biggest embarrassment is everybody knows who this guy is. Whatever he's done great in his life, Mark Stevens is now known as an idiot that shoved an NBA player. He really is. Even in the Bay Area, which, by the way, doesn't tolerate a lot. So if you're familiar, there's $1 zillion, by the way. He's just one of many venture capitalists
so
out
much
there
cash
that's
out
like
there, yeah.
made stupid money and sits on everybody's board. And if you sit on all those boards, like some people do here in this town, you make a lot of money as you get older. You can make a lot of money being on some guy's board and meeting once a month and going over how the company looks and how the CEO's doing. So anyway, we got all that stuff going on here. Wrapped up yesterday, minicamp ended up being a conditioning day for the Miami Dolphins. And I want to say this to my good friend Barry Jackson. Well, he's not my good friend. To Barry Jackson, who works as hard as anybody with his tidbits. He does. Whether you like the way he does it, whether some people say Barry's a weasel or whatever. He's a little different dude, like personally. Like I said something about, I asked him one day, are you married or not? And he goes, well, why does anybody need to know about my personal life? I go, you jump into everybody else's stuff. You want to know everything?
That's a good point.
So yeah. So he goes, well, nobody cares about me. I'm not, I think might have done that public figure or something. But anyway, so Barry does a good job getting tidbits and stuff. And he went out and got Shane Day to talk about Mike Gesicki. And honestly, that's the old tight ends coach.
Yeah.
As bad as he was at a coach, he wasn't even qualified to be, as I've said, a JV and a high school tight end coach. Talking about Mike Gesicki and, you know, and talking about the work. And, you know, we've gone through the Devontae Parker and the Charles Harris and Mike Gesicki have all been big stories this offseason for the team and everything. But maybe Shane Day ought to look in the mirror. And it's incredible. For some reason, I looked it up again after I saw Barry got a hold of Shane Day to get his comments about Mike Gesicki in the Miami Herald today. And I was like, man, if I was Shane Day, I'd be hiding. I'd be hiding if I didn't help my guy get better. And it's not his fault because he's not capable of coaching a guy because he didn't know how to coach a position.
Exactly.
So he got put in a bad situation. And then I look at how many years this guy's been an assistant in the NFL, and I see why so many guys get pissed off when they can't get jobs when I see, again, a real nice guy, got in with some other guys in the good old boy network of the NFL and gets a job.
Yep.
Now I think they got him coaching quarterbacks out in San Francisco.
Are you kidding?
What is he going to do for Garoppolo as a quarterback coach? Shane Day couldn't throw a ball from here and hit Hollywood in the head, who's like 10 yards away
from
us.
I was about to say, not even 10 yards, but 12 feet, 4
yards.
So,
yeah. I just crack up when I see, like, and I'm not saying you got to play the game, but you got to have a little background and, like, and so.
But you know, Joe, once you're in, you're in.
I know, but you know what I don't understand in the NFL? And I might be wrong. I might be wrong if I am. People can tell me. I don't understand how a coach just says, all right, you coached tight ends last year, coaching quarterbacks this year. And I'm like, what? And then you're going to be an O-line coach and you're this and that. I'm like,
how do you make that switch like that?
And it seems like every time there's a new coach, they make him the tight ends coach.
Yeah.
Like the first job you get is like, you know, we don't have a tight ends coach. Go coach those guys. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's qualified for that. A guy that you want to block, but you want to be a pass receiver. He's got a lot of, like, are you kidding?
It's a little disrespect to your position.
So anyway, but they all do it, man. They all do it. I look at it. I meet them. I never say a word. I just, and I'm not saying you got to play the game, Zach. I'm not saying you got to be in this media to play any game or anything else. Those guys study film. They see things. But when it gets down to helping some athletic guy get better who needs, he just needs desperately for somebody, like if it's a Gronkowski or somebody that's got a really good reputation to help him, like help this guy. And maybe it's Shad O'Shea and Godsey, his new coach. Maybe it's those guys that are the ones
to get more out of him. Anything's better than last year at this point.
But when you have to, when you're on a team and you're really frustrated and your confidence is shot, and you have to call your college coach to get help.
No, that's a bad.
I understand calling your dad. We've all made
normal. That's life.
Dad, I'm in a little funk in my personal life and my professional life, you know.
You need a little kick in the ass from your dad or a little motivational talk from your dad. That's fine. We're talking about a professional athlete at a position with a position coach that's not coaching him.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge difference than your dad or you're calling up, you know, a motivational kind of conversation to get your head back up.
You should be able to go to your coach.
Of course.
Especially when you're talking about an NFL professional coach. You're thinking, like players, you're getting the best people, the most qualified for those positions. And instead, they're all wrapped up in, that guy was a quality control coach with Denver. I really liked him. He's a really good guy. He got me coffee every day when he started, and he was really good. Always had the coffee fresh and was fantastic. We got to go to break here. We got a lot of stuff coming up in the show that we'll get to. Stay with us. So we're going to do a little CBS TV first. Radio.com.
That poor producer at CBS. We'll get to that in a second. The 2019 hurricane season has arrived, and once again, WQM is combining with the team at CBS4 to bring you extensive coverage from watch to warning to landfall to recovery. Keep it tuned in to WQAM for up-to-the-minute news and tips. Should a hurricane approach, hurricane coverage on WQAM, sponsored by BNT Services, protecting you with PGT Impact Windows and Doors. Be informed during this hurricane season from CBS4 at AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2 WQAM.
Yeah, man, it's hurricane season, and we're always on the watch. It's amazing, isn't it? What it's become after you've come, for people have been down here, getting yourself prepared and making sure you've got stuff in place. And we even talk about it, right? You talk about your windows and your roof, and and you talk about, hey, the generator always comes up. So, yeah, is it running? So you don't have to go last second. And then everybody does everything last second. You can't get anything done.
And
right?
There's no more gas, or you can't get a gas can. Yeah. I'm so prepared, it's ridiculous after these years. Yet I'm scared that if I have to actually go to it and put the generator on and everything, that something is definitely going to mess up. But I got I have the full house thing now, and the switch in the back, the whole deal. And something is definitely going to mess up, and I'm going to get fully blamed for it.
Yeah. By the way, just switching over. Do you see a Patriots 6? Championship ring.
Yeah, you know who's I saw on Instagram? Our boy, Breakfast with Berrios. I saw his. It was his entire hand, basically, this ring.
They've had so many. I saw Brady and then Belichick, who I think he had a 7th. I think he had his Giants one on, too.
Yeah, probably. Oh, so, God. That's scary.
And well, he's a defensive coordinator for Parcells. And I was thinking,
I forgot
my
all about that.
God, as a coordinator, a head coach, to have 7 in the NFL, it is really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
This is not the NBA where you got that dominant team for.
No, the Celtics or someone like that who wins 11 titles. No, it's different.
And then Brady had all of his, and you could see him getting bigger and bigger till they came up with this.
He's got 2 hands worth of rings now.
And they fill up his hands. I mean, the 3 are so, they look like 5 rings on each hand. They're so big.
And gaudy.
And you know what? Oh, I want him. If I was to ever win one, which I didn't, I would want it just over the top. Like I see Bob Greasy's. The closest thing I see is Bob Greasy's rings, and he wears them. He kind of rotates between the Hall of Fame ring and the 2 championship rings, which is, listen, it's a hell of a combination.
Of course,
doesn't matter what age you are. But they weren't gaudy. they weren't
no,
like,
I don't, like, yeah, today, not like today.
They're going, add some bling
yeah.
to that big championship ring.
Imagine what the perfect season 17-0 rings would look like right now. Like if Stephen Ross was the owner of this team and they just
Stephen
went
Ross.
And, oh, yeah. and no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to put it in comparison because back in the day, no one was spending that much money on like a championship ring. Now, like you said, add 15 more emeralds and add a ruby and add 38 diamonds. And this side needs to have the entire name in diamonds. The 17-0 perfect ring, Greasy, Zonka, all those guys, today with Stephen Ross as the owner, those things would be like a handful of ring right there.
Yeah, man. I hope I'm around like a lot of Dolphin fans to see it because we are still a long way away.
Joe, we
got to
make the playoffs.
Like
first.
A lot of NFL cities going.
Gotta get to the playoffs. One
step at a time. Carson Wentz yesterday got paid. Kind of big story yesterday. 6-year, $154.5 million, a 4-year extension, along with his 2 years, is how we got the 6-year. So the 4-year extension was $128 million. And a little over $100 million guaranteed.
It's a good time to be a quarterback.
It is. And you know the thing with Carson Wentz, he's put up, and people, because some people are like, man, are you sure he's the guy? And not because of his production, but the guy hadn't been able to stay healthy the last 2 years. And it's really been Nick Foles. Nick Foles has come in. He's the one that's won all the playoff games in both years and led his team with wins. But Carson Wentz's numbers the last 2 years have been really, really good. I think he had 33 touchdowns and 21 touchdowns in two of his 3 years. And it was 3-1 and better than that, touchdowns to interception. So he put up the numbers. He's a young guy, and they're all in on this guy. It's the big thing, of course, is can he stay healthy? I don't know if you buy in it, you know, about – his relationship with his teammates. He said he's worked on it. I always love when we say the Ben, you know, Ben's gotten away from being in touch with the team. Then you heard that with Carson Wentz and somebody comes out with, so next thing you got to do is, you know, you got to have your guys go, hey, why don't you get to know some of the guys on both sides of the ball and whatever's going on. So you hear, it's weird to hear Ben Roethlisberger like, yeah, you know, I got to do a better job. And you get called out by somebody in the media. It says some guys in the locker room aren't happy with you, or Antonio Brown comes out and says something, and all of a sudden, like Ben goes from, you know, and I laughed at the time. Antonio Brown said, you know, I've never been invited to his house.
No, that's right.
And so he's kind of offended by it. So now Ben's got like the whole friggin' team this summer at his summer home. Hey guys, hang out, take the boat, hang out in the pool. I'm doing barbecue and you guys eat as much as you want. All kinds of beer. Right? And you're like, all right, Ben.
Well, the bonding has started now. You got that extension. He's now part of this team for another couple of years.
So every guy's working on relationships, which is it's the craziest thing. I've never heard of guys. And we had this with our guy. And I'm not taking shots at him. I'm not. But Ryan Tannehill being told when Adam Gase got here, hey. The knock on you is you don't relate to the guys on the team. What? Like what? Yeah, you got a bad rap with a lot of guys on the team. Oh, okay. So it's awkward. Like if you have to force that.
Then that's a problem.
That's what. I just had this conversation with Dan Marino about like, being a quarterback should be, you know, it's not like the first time you played it. So you've been around through college, high school, growing up, like white or black players, like it should just come guys from the South, the West. I mean, guys come from all over the place, right?
A quarterback should be just a natural team leader, right?
Yeah, but you should be able to like
to talk and bond.
I understand
with all the dudes.
Some guys are introverts a little bit.
Okay,
you're not going to get every guy that's going to like, hey, dude, I go back to your locker. You've talked long enough, man. I want to get dressed or like I want, you know.
But just a guy that gravitates to the other players on the team and can talk to other guys and have a conversation with other guys doesn't mean you have to understand someone's
guys,
background.
Be able to bust guys' chops
and do
stuff like that. And
isn't that the biggest thing or the greatest thing about
awkward.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, he's the best.
Like, he just, every lock, I mean, he's been in 8 locker rooms, so he's been around the league. He even said on our show the other day, he's now been to 25% of the league.
Everywhere he goes, and
he's a well-liked dude.
I told him, I said, listen, man, you've been able to do something with two guys that have been about as high a maintenance as there is in this league, DeSean Jackson and Brandon Marshall.
Right.
And they're like, man, I can't get enough of this dude. This guy is the best. He jokes with us, has fun. You know, he's not afraid to make fun of himself. It is, unfortunately, besides being good, is part of the deal.
Sure, of course. Now,
obviously, you got to be good. That helps a lot.
No, that does
help. If you're really good, that helps a relationship with anything, because all of a sudden they go, he might be a weirdo, but he's my weirdo, and he's damn good. Let's go.
And that could be the whole knock on Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, he could be like the weirdo in that locker room, yet he's really good and everyone respects him.
I think that's a great example.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is probably one of those weirdo guys that we don't really know kind of the background about. Like, we know the family stuff. We've heard that from his brother, and we know that he's just kind of a little bit of a weirdo. But I also think you can be that kind of a weirdo or maybe a little bit of introvert in the locker room if you're one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
You can be a great leader, and people go, man, that guy's unbelievable. And nobody ever mentions
the extracurricular
that
stuff.
You're sensitive and like you can't bust his chops. Or I'll tell you what, though, as good as Aaron Rodgers is, it would have been hard for him to be in our locker rooms. And I know it was a long time ago because nothing, I always say this, nothing was sacred.
The family stuff, guys, you guys would have gone on him for it?
Guys were, there was nothing sacred. And, you know, the wife stuff, too. It's just, and guys had wives, and if they had a girlfriend, and something happened, and, you know, and guys got called out, man. There was nothing. Anything at all happened, even guys getting served papers that they were daddies, which happened a few times.
It's horrible.
And, like, you know, I mean, that poor guy, he literally, you had to be a good sport about it. The best sport you could when you find out you got a payment now for the next 18 years of your life, right? That's the worst thing to get. Get served at work. Get served at work.
In front of all your dudes.
You're officially. Yeah, because they just walk in and serve the papers.
Yep.
The first.
Hey, are you Joe Rose? Yeah, here you go.
My favorite story of all time. And, you know, certain things stick out after all these years. And I always crack up. And I'm not going to say his name. And if I have in the past, I probably shouldn't have. But anyway, we're all getting taped up. Everybody gets taped up. You usually get taped up if you got a veteran team. They like the rookies to come in early and get taped. And then the veterans like to be able to come in anytime they want, and they knock you off the table. I had a guy that was always Ralph Ortega that used to, like, tell me, hey, my rookie year, like, hey, Rook, get off now. And he was serious. Like, it wasn't like, dude, you know how this works. Early, man. Early or don't get taped. Miss it. And I was like, and I looked at him. I was like, ooh, he's serious.
Yeah.
Well, Ralph didn't mess around. So you know, I kind of learned. So anyway, one day we're all back there. You know, there's 4 or 5 tables of guys getting in, and then the guys on deck, and everybody wanted to do a second. And hear this guy in a suit come in and go, hey, is there such and such in here? Everybody looked up. And nobody, you know, yay, he's right there. He served him
with papers.
He must have served him, Zach. There must have been 20 guys in the training room, either getting treatment or back then the treatment room and the tables to get your ankles wrapped or your wrist wrapped or whatever it was, or your hands wrapped. And that look on the face when he looked, and it started. I mean, the hooting and hollering started. Like, damn, dude. 18 years, man. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, dog. I mean, they started howling. And
that sucks.
And the guy was not a great sport about it, this particular guy, and he never lived here after he was done playing. And he's still alive. So I always have to say, and he's still alive.
Well,
Zach.
I mean,
he's still alive. That's,
unfortunately, you have to say.
But anyway, so he walked out with this thing, and I don't know, he's trying to downplay it. Like, dude, we're all going.
You can't downplay that, buddy.
I hope that loving was good, man, because that is an 18-year.
You ever ask, like, what the name of the kid's going to be?
They call him Daddy. Can you imagine? Daddy, move over.
That sucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah,
how about this? How I about wonder. We're stretching and guys going, hey, what name you going with?
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you're kidding.
That's it.
Hey.
What's a kid's name?
And then they're going, wait, you're hoping it's a boy or a girl? I mean, guys are brutal, man. Can you imagine out stretching and the coaches walk around and talk to guys that are getting ready for practice and you got the same 10 or 12 comedians going.
Bussing chops.
Oh, dude, were you hoping for a boy or a girl on this one? You know, and,
that sucks.
And this guy's like 22, 23, yeah. 24 years old.
Young dude.
And he just got hit with this payment based off what he makes.
That sucks. But it goes back to, you're right, like what would Aaron Rodgers be like in that situation?
You're right. He'd be.
Like Ryan. Ryan was our perfect example here. Like Ryan obviously had a wife. We know that. But
I don't think. I don't know.
I don't know if he would have handled it. I don't know. Like Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure.
Listen, Ryan was just, besides, the biggest problem is not his personality and all that stuff. Biggest personality, he couldn't play at a high enough level. That's all. Nobody would care. No, fans don't care about any of this stuff.
No.
Fans don't care if you're, like, do they care that Aaron Rodgers has obviously got some major issues?
No, they care if they go to the playoffs.
Right?
They care if they go to the Super Bowl.
That your brother's calling you out for, like, giving $1 million. Why don't you check on mom and dad's house while you're giving $1 million trying to kiss Paradise, California's ass?
That was such a weird situation.
You gave $1 million and you can't call mom? See how mom's house is? Never mentioned dad, by the way. Just said mom's house,
mom,
apparently.
Yeah.
Figure mom would get him. Hey, we got to go, man. We got to go. Well, we got to just take a quick break here. We got a lot of stuff. I didn't even hear what happened with Josh yesterday on the catch-up.
We'll get into that.
How was it? I don't want to hear like
it was a four-hour extravaganza.
I'm guessing because he told us he's had ketchup since he's a little boy.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's had ketchup. And he's still eating the same stuff.
That's
he said, I just like ketchup.
Yeah.
All right.
Creature of habit.
Can't change.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Don't forget, folks, you could join 560 WQM and our own Channing Crowder, Twin Peaks and Pembroke Pines tonight, 8 to 11 p.m. for a basketball finals watch party. Hang with Channing and watch game 4. Enjoy whiskey specials all night. There'll be plenty of cool giveaways as well. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. That is Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines, 8 to 11 p.m. tonight with Channing Crowder.
We are talking about there's nothing sacred in the locker room. It's a lot different now. I mean, guys, groups of guys will give each other a hard time, but overall, teams just aren't like they used to be. I mean, guys don't hang out like we used to have a lot of guys go out together. Those days are over. The sport's just a lot different. I'm not saying it's worse, or I'm just saying it's a lot different.
Well, it's very clicky, right, in the locker rooms now?
It's money. It's free agency. It's a lot of stuff. And, you know, but, you know, I don't know what year it kind of started changing from the way it used to be. But, my God, I was thinking of while we were on the break, and I was telling you about a story about the guy getting served papers that he had.
Yeah.
It was his baby.
Oof.
And so what that was like. But we had guys going through, like, brutal divorces or getting separated, and guys going, dude, will you get back with her and stop, like, dating everything? Because my wife, man, I got to hear it every night.
Mm.
And so we had, like, stuff like that. And so sometimes the funny stuff, like, it got a little heated too. I don't want you to just think because some guys didn't take it well.
You're going to piss a guy off. Not every guy's just going to eat it all up. You're going to piss some guys off no matter what it was.
Yeah. So, yeah. We.
I can imagine there's a lot of guys that got into fights in the locker room about, you know, that.
Or
close to it. I'm not saying all out brawl fist
fights.
We
had close,
but
you know what?
Close encounters.
I remember twice. I remember guys. During practice, guys went out. We had a couple guys. We had guys that just didn't like each other. There were guys, no matter what, their personalities just didn't, and they would go at it. But they had their uniforms on, and they'd break them up, and they'd say a few things to each other, and then it'd be over, and everybody give them both a hard time. And then, the joke was these two guys just didn't like each other. So I saw that once through, and it went on for a couple years. These two guys just literally couldn't be, like, to played together fine because on different sides of the ball never affected them.
Football's football.
But they were just two guys that just did not like each other and just did not back down from each other ever. So you have that. You probably got that now. I know through the years there have been some classic stories that have leaked out of stuff. But, you know, some guys take it real well, and then there's guys that you've just got to know that they're not used to it. They haven't been around it. Apparently it didn't happen in college and just didn't take it real well. So, yeah, of all those stories. But, yeah, the one with the guy. I only saw one guy get served papers, and it just happened to be with half the team in getting taped or getting treatment before a practice. And, my God, it was just one of the funniest things. And you knew as soon as we went out. And so when you're warming up and you're stretching, that's also because we had a long stretch before. That's when everybody was – they're most creative with Daddy. Hey, let the new captain this week be. My man got a new kid. Let him be the captain. And you know, and they didn't let up, man.
No, of course.
Boy
not.
Or girl. Guys, like, I mean, can you imagine all in one day you find out?
No, that's a lot to take in one day.
Oh my God.
And then get your chops busted like that by all your teammates. That's a lot to, I can imagine.
When's the first payment?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was waiting for. Like, how much is that gonna cost you?
Dude, and everybody knew everybody's signing bonus, and every guy knows what every guy makes, right? That's always been. So you're like, hey, I was just doing some math.
You're in trouble, dude.
Oh, God. I didn't appreciate it till I had child support to really appreciate, like, what that what that whole thing's like. Yeah. We got all kinds of stuff going on here. By the way, this popped up, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I think he's going to get in at some point. Former University of Miami special teams player Devin Hester, I saw he came out and he said, you know, he feels like he's going to get in as a return guy, which hasn't happened. I mean, we got a punter in, we got a kicker in, but through the years, specialty guys haven't been on top of the list. I mean, there's enough of a fight getting all the receivers in,
sure,
quarterbacks, and we got linemen that have been Pro Bowlers for 7 or 8 years. So, you know, the thing is getting tough. So people have always said, look, if you're a specialty player, it's going to be really, really hard to get in unless you're just doing something so much better than everybody else. So Devin Hester, who never had a position at the U, he really didn't.
He was still looking for a position for him.
Never. He was second-round pick for Chicago, never really had a position there, but, man, they're specialty. So he ends up with 14 punt return touchdowns. 5 kickoff return touchdowns. He also had some touchdowns on, I don't know what those fall under. Somebody have to tell. What's it called when you try a long field goal and it comes up short and he catches it in the back of the end zone runs it back?
Yeah, I don't know what those would actually be called.
Field goal returns.
Yeah, I guess so.
And, of course, he had the Super Bowl that we saw down here.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable start to that Super Bowl. Now, here's my thing on that, because I know that Ray Guy's in as a punter, right? Who's the kicker? Is it Vinatieri that's in as the kicker?
I think it's Morton Anderson.
Morton Anderson that's in as a kicker. Okay. So
Vinatieri's still kicking.
Yeah, he's still kicking. So,
he's like 68 years old.
Yeah,
he's still
kicking. He's still in the league. So he'll eventually,
he's going to max out that pension. I want to see that guy's pension.
What's that going to be like?
Like they're going to call
him. Is there a max on the pension?
They're going to call him and go, look at Matt. No, it's by the
year.
Wow. Look at, dude, we've never paid this much money. You're making it. Yeah, he's just.
He's going to make an NFL salary the rest of his life.
It's crazy.
But if you're the best ever, especially at one of those specialty positions, like Ray Guy considered the best punter of all time, and Morton Anderson, I don't know if he's considered the best kicker of all time, but obviously it was good enough to make the Hall of Fame, and we think maybe Vinatieri will be the next guy years from now that gets in.
Vinatieri should be the next guy.
Okay, so he'll be the next. So there'll be the two best kickers maybe ever, Morton Anderson and Vinatieri. Ray Guy, best punter. Devin Hester is the greatest ever at his position.
Off numbers.
Off numbers,
now,
it is.
Now, some will say, you know, if Deion, you know, would have done it all the time.
If my aunt was my, you know.
But no, numbers-wise, that's what this is about. He is.
So if you're going to put one guy in, or if you're going to make one kind of, all right, let's, you know, what's the argument for him? You know, we know what that room is like. We talked to Armando about what that Hall of Fame room is like and how one person goes to bat and we'll see what happens.
I don't think he's going to get in for a long, long time.
Okay, maybe he's not a first ballot guy. I understand that. I do think Devin Hester should be in that Hall of Fame, though. I do. At that specialty spot, at the spot that he was put into to play in the NFL, running back kicks, and we know special teams is kind of that third, you know, it's offense, it's defense, and special teams. If Ray Guy is in there, if Vinatieri eventually will be in there, and Morton Anderson is in there, there is no argument in my mind how you could argue that Devin Hester doesn't belong there.
Well, he clearly got the most returns and changed the field position, and they kicked away from him for years, and all those things. I don't disagree, but I just look at how long it took T.O.
Yeah.
And it's about numbers, man.
Okay. And but Devin, nobody compares with those numbers.
Devin was a real quiet, likable guy.
Sure.
So it wasn't like Devin. Very confident, but very quiet about it.
But the wide receiver position, like you said, there's so many guys at that position that have so many great numbers over the years. And that's what we saw for so long. Some of these guys took so long to get in from the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and even early 90s. No one's got numbers like Hester. Like, he's not a first ballot guy. That's fine. You want to debate me on that? That's fine. But there's no way when it's all said and done that Devin Hester should not have a place, a bronze in the NFL Hall of Fame. There's just no way. He's just too good at what he did.
It was a 20 – the argument's going to be it was – it's the hardest thing to do, return punts and kicks, because you got to get by everybody. It's sure. It's not a one-on-one thing.
No, it's 1 versus 11.
But it's 20 to 21 or 22 plays that he made for touchdowns. And we've always looked at special teams a lot different than offense and defense.
You're right.
When you look at all the key stats, let me ask you in fantasy sports, how big is special teams in fantasy?
It's not huge. It's more of a specialty thing. Like you hope to get it.
That's the problem.
But he's the greatest that ever did it at what he was doing. Like, he was the best, and he's got numbers to prove it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying 40 guys that played that position should get in. Let's go back and look at who is the next best and the next best after that. He just was the best there is so far in all these years in the NFL.
He feels like he's, you know, he deserves to be in. I'm really curious to see how those writers are going to treat this. And, you know, clean on everything he's done for all the people that's important to. So that's not the issue. It's just the fact that he is a special teams guy. Mm. Not like he had 30 interceptions.
No.
And Deion was a great cover corner as well as special teams guy.
Deion was a better corner than he was a returner.
We've had some other return guys or good wide receivers. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out with Devin Hester, who is, hey, listen, man, for a guy that never had a position through college.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Larry Coker tried that stupid ass get him all involved in that last game to try to keep him. And Devin goes, hell, I'm out of here, man.
Why would you do that?
I'm going to do this. I'm probably going to have to do the same thing at the next level. And he did. We got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up here, man. We got all kinds of stuff going on here this morning we'll get to. Marlins finally lose on their way home, but they take 2 out of 3 and keep it going. And we had a little social media problem yesterday between the Marlins and the Brewers going back and forth. Little jabs at each other. We'll tell you all about that if you missed that. And apparently we had a billionaire that's just bored with all that money and decided he had to act like an idiot. We'll have all that for you as well. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.